everybody, to episode 8 of the Eat for Life podcast. We are your home for entertainment, entrepreneurship, education, and esports. I'm one of your co-hosts, Marcus Howard, joined by Sebastian Burton, Red Infamy, Derek Watford, and our special guest for this week is none other than Hip Hop Gamer. Welcome to the show, bro.
Welcome to the show.
My dude Chosen in the building. Marcus in the building. Derek in the building. My queen, Red Infamy, bang, bang, bang in the building. Eat for life. That's what we do, son. One love and God bless. It's an honor to be here. Let's get it started, son. Let's go.
Beast Coast.
That's right. That's a fact.
That's what's up, man. We want to talk about a bunch of stuff, man. Culture and gaming. We want to talk about, you know, some insights you have in the space on gaming and your journey. But first, help us understand a little bit at a high level who you are, people who don't haven't worked with you, who don't know who you are. Just introduce the community to Hip Hop Gamer.
All right, cool, bet. So I'm Hip Hop Gamer, Brooklyn, you know what I'm saying, East New York, that's where I'm from. My grandmoms, rest in peace, she taught me how to play video games when I was 4 years old. So I've been playing video games all my life, and she taught me about life through video games, you know what I'm saying? So at a high level, it wasn't just about playing games as a way to get out of her head, you know what I'm saying? She used it as a tool to keep you off the street, but she also used it as a tool to increase my passion in life because of the way I felt about playing games. So between levels, objectives, and things that you're trying to accomplish, she made me realize the same passion in real life, that you're gonna have levels and challenges and things that you gotta accomplish. So that was the beginning right there. Then fast forward, I started making music when I turned 14. So that's the whole idea of hip hop, video games, like starting to come together, because that's what I grew up on. You know what I'm saying? So then fast forward, you know, to 2008, that's when I went to E3 for the very first time. And that's when things was a real game changer, because I finally got a chance to see what the business side is like, you know, going to E3 and seeing the difference between just being a fan and understanding how the industry works. So that right there was like crazy. So that led me to being, you know, a game journalist. I make songs for the video games. I'm a character in different video games, like Watch Dogs 2 and NBA 2K Playground series. I do a lot of consulting on the back end, working with different companies. And yeah, man, like content creator. I do it all, bro. In the real. Let's get it.
Yeah. Love to hear that. Hell yeah.
Everybody, you're hustling, man. Mad respect to you for that. Definitely want to talk about a lot of that stuff in more detail a little bit later. But first, I want to continue the conversation. You know, we talked about this on LinkedIn. This might have been a month ago. You know, Soulja Boy posted this video. You had this reaction video. You added a bunch of insights and perspective context.
Yeah.
We got to get back to that, man. So bring us up to speed on that for people who don't know. You know, what happened and then what you did. And then let's just have, you know, a roundtable conversation about that.
Yeah, so Soulja Boy put out a tweet talking about, like, how come hip-hop heads don't rock with the gaming community? So I'm not sure why he put the tweet out, what happened that made him want to put that tweet out, but I saw the tweet, and as soon as he said it, I was like, yo, like, if there's anybody that know that answer, like, you know, it's me. So when he put that out, I know that Soulja Boy, for, like, many years, you know, had his team. And he even did like this dope video way back when Stephen Totilo was doing his thing at MTV before he even got to Kotaku and stuff like that. And he was involved with that. So he's been around and has been involved in the gaming industry. And he had his crew, his team and all of that, but never, you know, took it to the next level or never pushed it. And that tweet, I think, is insight on why. I don't think a lot of people was rocking with what he was trying to do in the gaming space. So he just kept focusing more on gaming. More on music as opposed to the gaming side. So with that, and so to give you more insight on it, when we was growing up in the hood, if you played Madden and Live and stuff, you know, even Street Fighter, you know, here and there, you cool. You know, that those are the games that you are right with, you know what I'm saying? But if you playing Super Ghouls and Ghosts and Akari Warriors and Final Fantasy and all this other stuff, like, you a nerd, you get no girls, you get no money, no bread, no nothing, you whack, you corny, get out of here. You know what I'm saying? So that's the way the stigma always was in the world of hip hop. So even now, look at what everybody glorify. If you ain't got the flyest car, the flyest girls, whatever, you know, we ain't rocking with you. It's the same type of energy. It's just that now, because gaming not only makes so much money, but it's a way bigger industry than a lot of these artists is in. You're like, yo, how can I get that bread? How can I get that bread? And I work with so many people. And let me give you some more context. I worked in a mailroom from 2000 to 2014 at all the major record labels. So that's Universal Music Group, Def Jam, Rockefeller, Bloodline, Murder, Inc. I was around all of them. You know how they talk about being a fly on the wall and like you're able to know a lot of stuff that's going on? I'm in a mailroom. People say anything around me. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I got crazy insight on everything for years, and I have tons of relationships with people in all at all levels. So when I tell you that all, for the most part, all this stuff you're seeing right now is just strictly money plays. It's just money plays. Like, they don't really care unless there's a bag. There ain't no bag, they don't care. So at the end of the day, it is what it is. And that's why I responded to Soulja Boy's point, because someone like me, like gaming literally like changed and made a big difference in my life. So I'm the person that want to make sure that I speak on it, you know it's real. You know the difference between who's fronting and who's real whenever I speak on it. So that's that. That's where that came from.
That's what's up. And Sebastian Chosen, you know, you talked about it before. You know, people used to call you Sega, you know, not to put your business out there, but you said give you the nicknames. You know, talk about your perspective, both as somebody who was on the you know, probably less than not the coolest person because you play video games, and then now you having your career and being a thought leader in this space as well.
Yeah, he's right. He's right. And the pendulum swung back to where now we're the ones who culture's modeling after, right? So now it's not just about the hood side of black folks. It's like the cultured side that came from, you know, being the ones in the room with anime heavy, with, you know, ramen noodles heavy, with those character, you know, like glorifying your favorite characters heavy. That's all coming into pop culture now, right? Like liking your favorite anime is now being one of the coolest things to mimic on TikTok, or, you know, acting and behaving like some of these classic characters is becoming more mainstream. So now, of course, like hip hop said, now they're coming in from, you know, left and right with deals they can strike. I mean, I knew it was something different when I saw Megan Thee Stallion start doing Melina
and she had a deal with Crunchyroll.
Yeah, right. So yeah, so that alone is telling you what's happening. He's right. It's just that mindset set switch. What I think is interesting is like, what do you think being in that mailroom? What do you think? What do you think when you say money plays? Is it like, is it only gonna get to the table if there's money, or are people at the industry like at the music groups right now kind of thinking of ways to get in, or are they kind of waiting for something big? Like, hey, it's Megan, it's Mortal Kombat, it works. Does it have to be big like that? Or can it be like something that somebody's like sniffing out right now to try to get started?
It depends on who you're talking to. So first off, like, you have certain people that's looking at the space and they like, yo, there's something really here. Let me learn about it so I can understand what it is, so I can represent it properly. And right. You got some people that, look, I got the bread. I don't care. Just make it work. I just want some money in return because it's big.
That's the majority.
Right. That's the majority. Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Right. Yeah, like right. That's the majority. You know what I mean? So what I would say is I'll give you two different scenarios so you can see the difference on what's going on, right? So like a lot of times you would see big events, right? And matter of fact, I'll put it like this. So Becky G, right? Shout out to Becky G. She's a part of a FIFA tournament that's coming up, I think March 26th, right? And it's celebrities versus gamers, something like that. So she's a part of that, right? And now to see her play a game and all this other stuff, obviously she got paid a lot of money because in the press release, they talked about tapping into celebrities and all this other stuff build a fan base around what they're trying to do with FIFA, right? Now, I had Becky G on my show back in like 2017, bro. I had her and RJ.
Power Rangers.
Yeah, for the Power Rangers a premiere at Hot 97. And her publicist or whoever, I told her like, yo, it's Power Rangers, so it's all three of us can play. Like, you know what I'm saying? We can all get down and have fun and stuff like that. And he was like, no, we don't want her to play the game. I was like, why not? Like, are you it's fun. Like, it's going to be cool. So then they're like, nah, we don't want her. Like, she don't want to play games like that. We don't want her to, like, embarrass herself and everything on camera because she don't know how to play. We don't want to do that. I said, yo, it doesn't matter if she's good or not. It's just about having fun and playing the game and just doing it. Like, it's not about that, right? So then, like, I really tried to tell them. I was like, yo.
I wonder if they assume that.
No. They didn't assume it at all. I'm going to tell you why. Because I asked Becky. I told Becky first. I was like, yo, Becky, this is what we're going to do. RG, this is what we're going to do. We're going to play the game and stuff like that. And when I said that, she was like, and then like looking around for her, like, you know, what her mouthpiece would be. Like, you know what I'm saying? And then that's when the publicist and all them was like, nah, like, we don't want to, like, you know, like, do that and stuff like that. Because sometimes you may have a person that want to do it, and then her people would try to say, or their people try to say, don't do it.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because, you know, especially with her. Because I'm like, FIFA. Like, I played in that FIFA tournament, and I don't play FIFA. All right? And it's a lot going on. I just don't play. That's one of the sports games I don't really play, and it's a lot going on compared to a Power Rangers.
Right, I was about to say, like, Power Rangers is way easier than FIFA. Come on, man.
Yeah, absolutely. But then I was telling them, like, yo, this is going to push the movie even more. The content we're going to get out of it is going to be even bigger. And you have a major group of gamers that's going to see this and rock with her even more because now they see her gaming. Like, this is crazy.
Women in gaming. And, I mean, there's just so many industries. A Latina and game, like, just showing so many different things they could have played on.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know what the publicist is thinking.
It doesn't make any sense. And then if you watch the video, like, after the show, or anybody that's in the chat, whoever's watching, like, you could Google it right now and type in hip hop gamer Becky G RJ, your Power Rangers, like, just type in those keywords and you'll see it on Hot 97. And you see me and RJ, we got the controllers, we playing, and, like, there's a time where I passed Becky G the belt. We was interviewing, big, stuff like that.
Big missed opportunity.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? So my thing is, that right there was one thing that was a public thing that y'all saw that I'm using as a reference. But the problem is, this is regular, and I know about it because I'm involved in everything, son. Everything. You wonder why? Because everything that you're seeing happening now is a result of me. Like, it's a result of me and conversations that I've had back in 08. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like the industry is catching up to what I've been saying. But when you got people that got bigger money and bigger budgets, bigger dollars, they can just make things happen. And then the people that really, really built it and really started it, that don't got the access to the capital like that, it perception-wise, it looked like they the ones. Yeah. Who set it up? When in reality, no, it's not.
Yeah, you know
what
I'm saying? We've seen it before.
So that's one example of that situation being real fake. Because the problem is, people got to stop using celebrities as the answer, but create celebratory moments within your culture that can blow up. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to think different. Because right now, when y'all put this video out, and let's say what we just talked about, y'all put like a highlight reel with what we just talked about, and you title it a certain way, and you put this out there, you know, put some Facebook ads to it or whatever, and it starts to catch on virally, then this podcast will get even bigger because of it being viral with the content that we just spoke about. Right. And now all these companies going to be like, yo, we need to rock with E for Life because they popping. And then boom. You know what I'm saying? It's all the same, bro. I see you all day, son. So that's that.
Right.
Yeah. Speaking of celebratory moments, you know, I got to meet both Red and you in Miami back in May last year. I think it was, you know, shout out to Tommy and the team over at Ultimate Gamer. The two of you did a great thing, you know, working with them to build an entire day's worth of content that I guess you're trying to put out a show. Talk to the audience about trying to get into broadcast media, both of you, because Red, you've been in the space as a journalist for a long time. You talked about it a bit on the second episode, but just help people understand, like, they want to break into the industry. How do they do that?
Get a guest. You go first.
Oh, you won't let me go first, baby. All right. That's what I'm talking about. We lit out here. Son. All right, okay. So, I can't speak from a general standpoint. I can only speak from my, you know, like standpoint. So here's what I'm going to say in terms of me and how I got involved and stuff like that. One of the things that I learned in general in life is if you can be a problem solver, you will always have success. If you can be a problem solver. So what I did was I learned to listen and I learned to watch everything that was going on. Like who's investing here, who's putting money in here, who needs help, what are they asking for, what are they looking for? And I just provide the answer to what they are looking for, but I do it where I have to be the face of it so it can be done right. So I'll give you an example of what I mean. So I'm in the mailroom, right? And shout out to my man, Davey D. So I'm delivering mail to him and he's like, yo, bro, you need to like talk to Hot 97 for real. Because like, not only are they dealing with competition with Power 105 and stuff, but they also, they need new content. And what you do, they don't got. And I personally never seen anything like it. Like, I think it's, you know, incredible. So I said, yo, like, thank you. I appreciate it. But at the time, I ain't had no connections like the Hot 97, right? But when you're a part of the media, you got access to stuff like that. So one thing I would tell people is if you can get involved on the media side of wherever you're trying to get to, if you get
tell people that all the time, even that they're not in media, of course, they're not a journalist or nothing like that. I'm like, if you want to step out of your zone, your boundaries, and if you could do something outside of the box, you could be a singer. Let's say you have something geek or gaming towards it. Let's say you just want to do a guest article, a guest video on someone else's platform. You're going to have media access and you can be a part of the press list and everything. And then they're going to say, okay, you're merging two together. Because that's what a lot of artists is trying to figure out now too, is like, okay, where can I make my money? Where can I, you know, I'm not performing. But we've seen so far during the pandemic, there's been so many digital things that has happened as far as concerts. But a lot of them have gotten in tune also with the gaming community that way as well, too. So I'm like, if you're like, I even tell, shout out to my god brother. He's a Grammy nominated writer. I'm like, yo, you love comics. You're a gamer. So why don't you do something on the lines of gaming and also get media access? Because you're going to be seen everywhere and you're also a writer and a singer, you can start getting your music into games that way. Because once you go to these events, like before the world, you know, kind of went on pause, you could have been coming to E3 with me. You could have been meeting all of the music directors for these different games and just having a chat with them. So you never know who you're going to meet as well. And you still could do it now. It's a little easier now because people are more open to letting their social be out more. We see, of course, with Clubhouse. We see now with Twitter Spaces, LinkedIn, of course, people are more susceptible to answering. And sometimes you got to stalk people on Twitter and see what they're talking about and get in the conversation. Like, it's all about being there at the right time and the right moment. But now you can pinpoint it with social media.
And to add to what Ready For Me said, like, that's when I realized that, like, media is one important way to get access to the thing that you really, really want to do. So what I did was I was on a red carpet for a Facebook game called Gig It. And they brought me out there because they want me to cover their game. But when they wanted me to cover their game, guess who was there? Ebro, Peter Rosenberg, like everybody from Hot 97 was there. So I interviewed them on the red carpet and the interview was so good that they wanted to continue conversations. Went to Hot 97, had a conversation. Like everything else, like on the back end played out correctly and boom, I became the first digital partner and personality with Hot 97. And doing that, now you got a different level of leverage because you got this relationship. So now with that leverage, I got Logitech G. And then outside of Logitech G, I got other things that I'm working on that I have that I'm building as well because I'm connected with WWE, I'm connected with Def Jam. So my whole goal was to figure out what are people doing? What do they need? What are their issues? Bro, let me tell you what I do too. People that I never even spoke to, I would create like brand decks and like situations for people that I never even spoke to. So when I speak to them, I'm like, yeah, I already have it. Let's go. Because you don't ever want to give people an opportunity to like push things back with you or take, nah, like, I'm ready now. Are you? And if you're ready, because I see what you was talking about, let's have this conversation now. And it shows a lot in terms of your character that you prepared, not just for yourself, but you prepared to help others. Now they want to bring you in that circle. When you get the circle, you get the information. So between media, information, and just being great at what you do, being consistent, that's a great way to break into broadcast media, Marcus.
I hit the cash register a lot of times. You guys can't hear it, but... I hit the cash register a lot of times. Yeah, you guys never hear it, but I hit it a lot of times. It sounded like money in here. It's starting to sound like money. So keep it up. That was good gems right there. I would say that. I mean, you're hitting all the points. I feel like I've had like a small run in the broadcasting space, and like that's all it is, right? It's like building that network, trying to be prepared, like stay ready so you don't got to get ready. And I never really thought of it strategically. It's funny, like. I never thought of it as strategic as y'all too, like to use it as a way to enter into the space. That's really dope. Like, that's because even if you don't want to monetize your, or if you don't want to become a thought leader with like blogs or things like that, the access you get to however you're going to monetize, that's really brilliant.
Yo, I'm gonna tell you like this, yo. I covered the Floyd Mayweather Conor McGregor fight. Now with me covering that fight, now think about it. I'm the only gamer. There, like, I'm the only gaming, like, brand at, like, one of the biggest fights ever, like, historically. Like, you know what I'm saying, in terms of pay-per-view and everything like that. While I was there, got a chance to kick it with Kenyon Martin, got a chance to kick it with Stephen A. Smith, got a chance to kick it with Isaiah Thomas.
And that's, too, because you don't hold yourself into a box. Like, a lot of people in one industry, they like to just say, oh, I'm just a part of that one industry. And I'm like, it's entertainment. Entertainment is a tree with a whole bunch of branches on it. So it's like, why just keep yourself into one sector? Like, I just don't cover gaming. You will see me at New York Comic Con. You will see me at Anime NYC or anything like that. Those are the things I'm into. You will see me when Agenda used to be in New York City to kind of have a relationship with street brands. I'm not just going to model myself just to one industry when if I'm a gamer and I'm into geek stuff, I can coincide with other and coexist with other industries as well. And that's how you kind of branch your network out instead of it just being so exclusive to one industry.
And that's what makes you valuable.
You're right, Chosen. That's definitely make you valuable. And just to add to that, even with what I do with my gaming and guidance program, because I didn't even like make mention of speaking on that, but working with the Board of Education and doing everything like that, like people always trying to get gaming in schools, esports and everything like that. Bro, this ain't new to me. Like, I've been on it. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I do it. So my thing is, when it comes to Board of Education, got access there. So now I'm getting access to the political side, you know, police departments, grants, and, like, you know, all these other things, development, like, all this stuff. So even though I'm a game journalist, I'm so much more. Music. I got my music in games. I'm an artist. I make songs. Like, I do this. You see me with EPMD, or you see me with Papoose, or you see me with T-Pain. Like, all of that. So at the end of the day, there's no limits. And that's one of the biggest problems in the industry. Like, people start to label you. Like, they be like, oh, you're an influencer. So that's what you are. So they only going to think to use you in that way because you allow the industry to label you. I'm a hip-hop gamer, period. I do everything. Let's go. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's the way I always move, bro. Always.
That's a gem. That's a gem right there. If you need it, I'm not even going to hit the button. I'm going to tell you, sir. Be yourself, and definitely, I love that. I love it. I'm loving it. What's next? What's next on the agenda? Too many gems right now. Y'all better be collecting. And I see all you, Joe, Monica, Christopher, Reset in Esports, all y'all out here. I see y'all commenting, and you got us the most comments we've had so far.
Hold on, wait. Christopher's in the chat for Reset Esports out of Vegas? Yo, Christopher! What's going on? So much love, salute. You know, I got so much love in the chat, so I can't hear y'all, but you know, my energy always with y'all, son. All day, I got to spin it for the chat, baby. All right, let's get it.
I gave him the air horn. I gave him the air horn on that. You hyped him up.
No doubt. So
I was going to ask you about how do you land these A-list, you know, interviews, but you basically just covered it. Because, you know, I've seen the clips you shared on LinkedIn with Brie Lawson and with, you know, Tiffany Haddish. But again, like you said, if you just happen to be at the right place at the right time and leverage that access, you create those opportunities. Would you say that's the same way you landed like those two opportunities? Is it something different or is that the same type of strategy?
All right, so let me tell you, right? So before, I want to make this very clear. before I even had the deals with Logitech and Hot 97 and all this other stuff, I was doing stuff like that. Like way before that. So what happened is the movie industry, all the people that's invested in and stuff like that, is getting more competitive. This is another thing that y'all got to pay attention to. Watch where the competing dollar is going. Mm. Not the dollar, the competing dollar. Mm. Because you have a lot of money that's for certain things, and you got certain things that's for competition. Why do you think 50 is a genius? Like 50 will always make sure that he has competing dollars. So even if you're talking about somebody else and you're not talking about him, you have no choice but to talk about him because he's a part of the conversation. Period. You got to make sure you manage your competing dollars correctly. One of the things that's horrible, that's whack, in my opinion, about the game industry, period, when it comes from a standpoint of journalism, is that people have a fear of competing because they worry about what somebody else going to say something, whatever, whatever. I've been said I'm the best out the gate. You don't believe me? That's fine. Challenge me. We'll see. I'm that dude. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make to your question with the interviews.
I love it.
So the question I'm trying to make with the interviews, right? The competing dollar. So a lot of people may look at somebody like a Samsung, right? It'd be like, what value can I bring to them? Samsung is here. I'm here. Like, what can I bring to them? So they shoot themselves in the foot and now they don't got no opportunity. So no, don't think that way. If Samsung is this big, Samsung spends, I think, in the range of 400 million or more specifically on competing dollars. Wonder why? Because you got Verizon, like you got Verizon out there doing stuff. You got Apple out there doing stuff. You got other TV makers, Sony out there doing stuff. Like you have all the stuff. They got to remain competitive too.
But you don't see LG like sponsoring a tournament. You'll see like Samsung's name there, but they do that on purpose. This would be like, yeah, we was involved. Like, we was involved in some way, shape, or form. So, yeah.
It's definitely a great way to get a piece of that budget, right?
Sorry, you said something about the budget?
I was saying that's a good way to get a piece, what Red was saying. Like, you know, they'll throw a lot of times. I think you guys are both saying the same thing. A lot of these bigger companies spend money in the areas that they know they have a lot of competition in. And so then you end up having them cover entire tournament in Samsung stuff, but they did it just kind of for face. But it's a great way for you to step in and be a part of a budgeted event because you know that it exists there. I like where this guy picking
and up you're making paper and you're making paper because of it.
Down.
Yeah, and you're making paper because of it. So what happens is, to answer your question, Marcus, is you have a lot of different agencies out there now, and a lot of these agencies, whether it's Ally, Moxie, or Cashmere, or whatever. Their sole purpose is to target the Black community. Like, that's it. Their goal is to target the Black community to get their attention, to get their dollar when it comes to putting seats in theaters or watching this or doing that, whatever, right? So companies like a Disney or whatever, they're like, yo, we got to come up with a plan. So now they'll look at gaming like, yo, this is a great opportunity. Who do we have to do this? A lot of these companies didn't have that. So I was just research and I popped up and shout out to this is my sister right here. I love her with all my heart. Shout out to my homegirl, Kim Walters. Like Kim, she was like, yo, like we built our relationship and she one hand like helped me out with my first deal in the movie world because of gaming. And this was before the Hot 97, like I said, G, all this other stuff. So I did, I interviewed Denzel Washington and Ryan Reynolds with Safe House. You know what I'm saying? Like I did mad stuff way before all this other stuff. So the point is I provided them value because they was looking for something that they didn't have, even though they're big corporation, big companies. So at the end of the day, you have to see how it works. You have, let's say you got Disney. Disney is have a marketing budget for a certain movie that gets picked up. Then that marketing budget gets spent on different PR outlets for press. And then that trickles down to different agencies because agencies got all the relationships with the journalists and people like that that's going to talk about your movie to make it hot, to make people want to go see it. And then by the time it trickles down to you, you still get money. Not as much, but you still get money. So the game changer is how do you be a part of the budgeting, not just getting paid at the end? How do you become part of the strategy so you get able to make money at a higher level? And all through gaming, bro. So that's what I wanted to share with you. That's how I was able to get those things, Marcus, because they needed a new way to get and reach people. Remember, there's a whole new generation growing up that's full of Fortnite heads and everybody like that. How are you going to reach them?
Right.
That's the new wave.
Right.
If you don't have that in your arsenal, then the money that you're getting for your budgets and the movies and everything out like that is going to start being cut short because the return ain't matching. You understand? So that's how that works, bro. I love, yo, Eat for Life, baby, all day. Eat for Life. Let's get it.
Gems.
All the gems. I thought when you mentioned before that you were in a game, that it was an indie game, you know, because that was how I got into the space. You know, Malcolm and I had a multimedia search engine, Project MQ. We were solving game discovery, worked with some amazing games that went on to become critical and commercial successes. But you're name dropping, like, you know, major games that are AAA games. Can you share with the audience the types of games that you have worked with? And then take a step back, like, how do you set that up? I know you mentioned a lot about, you know, providing value. Some specific advice for someone who wants to reproduce your success, right?
Okay. Great question, man. So I'll give you an example. Watch Dogs 2. Watch Dogs 2 is the first Watch Dogs game that had, you know, a black lead character. But he was a tech geek, you know what I'm saying? Nerd, stuff like that. He wasn't all about, it wasn't Grand Theft Auto. Like, you know what I'm saying? We're the thugs and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It showed us in a different light. Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying, babe? It showed us in a different light. So, once again, from a media standpoint, I've been covering Ubisoft games for the longest. I know everybody at Ubisoft. So, honestly, all I had to do was be like, yo, this game is fire. Let me go make a song. So, when I went to make a song, though, my boy DNA, who's one of the top battle rappers in the world, I was like, yo, D, I'm working on this song for this game, Watch Dogs 2. I want you in on it. You know what I'm saying? Because my whole goal, even though my whole goal didn't happen, my vision was to make Watch Dogs an actual click in real life.
That's cool.
I didn't want it to just be something that was a game. I wanted to be a real click in real life, where we are the Watch Dogs in real life.
Bigger vision.
That will give the game crazy longevity on a whole nother level. Like, look at Rockefeller, look at Dipset. It's the same model. Hip hop, or the same thing. So I wanted to do that for the game, and I wanted to get DNA and everybody involved. And plus, DNA is a beast on the mic. He's crazy. So I spoke with my people at Ubisoft, and I was like, yo, I did this song and I submitted it to them. Now, before I go even further, because of who I am in media and journalism, that allowed me to have relationships in high places where I could just pick up a phone and call somebody. Everybody don't have that access or relationships. So for those that don't, the key thing to do is look at the credits in every video game you play. Learn who the music supervisors are. Follow them on Twitter. If they like cake, if they like this, like, really learn who you're trying to target. Because the moment you have a common interest, mm-hmm. it builds a friendship. Mm-hmm. And then when you build a friendship and you have something to offer on top of that, now it could be something that's genuinely done instead of, I'm just trying to get something from you. You understand what I'm saying?
Because you're dropping gems, but they're coming in all kind of in and out for me. So I want to make sure I'm getting them all.
Mine's is good right now.
No, we hear you now. You're good now. Yeah, you're good now.
Okay.
Oh, you're great now, baby.
I was just saying, don't make it awkward when you're networking with people, just like what Hip Hop was saying. Like, try to do find some type of common ground with that person. Because it can come off very awkward and people would be very standoffish because you're just going right and being like a predator with what you're trying to do.
Right.
You don't want to be very predatory with that. You kind of want to have some type of common ground because people are like, yo, I want to work for you. So how do I do this? Or, well, how did you get that job? And it's like, you can't do that. Or how you got that sponsorship? I don't even know you. you didn't build. Like, I've even gotten DMs like that. Like, I don't know you, and you didn't even try to play it off or something. Like, you know, you have to have some type of hustling mentality with it, and it doesn't mean to be a predator with it. So don't make it awkward, please. Like, don't make it awkward because people are just going to be like, bye. People do it on LinkedIn, and it's very like, no.
Yeah, there's a difference. So, yeah. There's a difference between flattery and actually like appreciating somebody, right? Like, if you appreciate them, you learn something that you actually appreciate because you know what you appreciate and what you don't. So if you'd be like, I saw on your LinkedIn, you'd be bird watching. Then all of a sudden on your page, I see you watching people kill birds. then the person who's bird watching gonna think you a liar. Like, no, I'll be on your page. Yeah. You don't even care about birds at all. You just said that to me. You're a liar. I super don't want to help you no more. I don't want to help you.
Done deal. So it's exactly, you know, so it's exactly like that. So that's one of the most important things that I wanted to touch on. Like, when it comes to, you know, what I'm able to do, it stems from, you know, those things. So fast forward, made the call, and they loved the song. And then because they loved the song so much, it was their idea to put me in the game. They was like, yo, we should put you in the game. Like, that'll be fire. So they put me in the game. They made the song. You have to find it through the app, Song Sneak. And when you get into the city hall every year of the game, stuff like that, you see me, you see the belt, you know what I'm saying? And then you get the song, and now, like, it's me DNA in the game. Yo, it's unbelievable, like, the way they did that. So the point I'm trying to say is that's a AAA title, but because of the relationship that I have and also doing quality work, you can make things happen. And if you don't have those relationships, that's fine. There's still other ways to make it happen. David Jaffe, I did a theme song for Twisted Metal, bro. My song comes on right after Rob Zombies. You know what I'm saying? I did the song for Halo, Halo Reach, and they flew me out to Puerto Rico to perform it and stuff like that. Bro, like, I do this. Like, you know what I'm saying? So my thing is, it all stems from having an amazing relationship. And that stems from a quote that I created called, "Character is your currency." I'll say this again for everybody in the chat as well, son. Character is your currency. The moment you really realize that who you are is the true value of everything that you actually trying to do and trying to accomplish, everything else is just a byproduct of what your actual character is. But if you value all the external things, then you got nothing of substance within you to give. So you only going to be hot for a moment. You're going to be like Mike Jones. You're going to be hot for a moment, and then you're done. So at the end of the day,
ain't no hate on Mike Jones.
Yeah, Mike will come back to Eat for Life like, nah, I can't rock with y'all.
I'm keeping it up. I love Mike Jones too. Mike Jones.
He gave you his phone number and everything. Why are you going to do Mike Jones like that?
No, I'm just keeping it real. It doesn't mean that he's a bad person or a bad artist. I'm saying these are, when you do certain things or you make certain deals that's not the best deals, somebody great can miss out on opportunities too. And it's unfortunate, but I'm just, look, I told y'all this episode is going to be different. It's going to hit different. I'm going to tell you the truth all day. I get it in.
I got a question for you. We speak about this a lot. I come to you too for advice, of course. And a lot of people, I've been saying this for a long time, and I've even seen, of course, knowing you for like 10 plus years, your journey. Before you have leverage, right, how do you make sure that your impact is greater than numbers? A lot of times these companies value numbers more than they actually value impact. I know, shouts out to Nay Saga. She's even coming out with her own agency, Impact Over Numbers. And she is a pinnacle right now, who've gotten some notoriety during the summer, of course, that show that she can be very impactful without a whole bunch of numbers. I do not have tons of numbers, but I have a lot of reach and impact. So let us know how you leverage your impact before you had your numbers.
Wow, that's an incredible question, baby. Like, look, this is the Eat for Life podcast. Let me show y'all something real quick. How you doing, baby? How you doing, son? You know what I'm saying?
We love that.
I mean, come on, that question was too good. All right, so before I had, like, the partnerships and relationships and stuff like that, here's one thing I can say. When I got with my boy Torrance Davis, he gave me the opportunity to put my show on thebigdad.com. This is back in 2008. He sent me on my first ever interview with the media, like first ever one, right? I went there to cover, I think it was Happy Feet. I think they came out with a, they had a Happy Feet video game and stuff like that. And it was Michael Myers. I think it was Michael Myers Publishing and stuff like that. But anyway, I went there, right? And it was Rebecca and Katie. Amazing people. Shout out to Rebecca and Katie. I love y'all. So I got there. Now, keep in mind, they've never seen nothing like me, nobody like me. I showed up. I got the big John Cena belt. At this time, I just had it actually had John Cena's name on it. Like, I had that belt and stuff like that, the spinner joint. Show up. I did this amazing interview, right? Amazing interview. It was my first one. But I'm me, man. Like, I wear my heart on my sleeve. The energy is there. And I got Torrance got an email from them saying, that was one of the best interviews I've ever had. Like, he's incredible. We need him to come back, like, every time. Like, he gave us so much life, you know, at the press event. And Torrance forwarded me the email, and he was like, yo, look, this is all you, look. And even though I didn't realize it then, looking back now to answer Red Infamy's question, that is how I was able to make an impact without the numbers. So what I started to do when I, like, on my brand deck and, like, people that I talk to and meet with and do business deals with, I showed them numbers because it's all a part of the deck. But before I showed them numbers, I showed them comments from people from Romania, people from Brazil, and how they feel about what I'm doing. I showed them reactions from kids in my gaming and guidance program so they can see what we're doing means to them. I showed them things that you can't put a dollar amount on. And that's what changes the value of the entire presentation. So I make the numbers secondary, and I make community, love, like, real things. Like, put like this, we're doing this podcast right now. God forbid if somebody gets into a car accident or something happened, I'm running from I'm not going to stay on this podcast. I'm going to see what's going on with my family. What's going on? Like, you know what I mean? I'm dropping everything. So what I realized, if I could drop everything for this, then this is where the real value actually is at. So I did my business model around what real value is, and then I showed the numbers later. So I make the numbers secondary when the world and society make the numbers primary. I make them secondary, and I use me, myself, my heart, characters, your currency as the primary. That's why my relationships is stronger than any number that I can have, because now when you put that together, it makes me unstoppable. That's how I do it. Love you, baby. You know what I'm saying? Let's get it. All that. Day. Eat for life, baby.
I love that. Well stated. Well stated. And it's true. I think a quote that I really rock with that has helped me through the years with that kind of conversation is people, numbers change, people change. Times change. So people never remember any of that, but they'll never remember what you say. They'll never remember what you do, but they'll always remember how you make them feel. Woo! No matter what. Like, people will always, Facts. Always, always remember. If you make somebody feel like trash, they're going to remember that shit. They're going to remember that. And if you make somebody feel good, they're going to remember it. They might not say it to you because it's not in human nature to over blemish on things, like when things have already, you know what I mean? Passed, but they'll remember. You can put that in the bank that they'll remember. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely love that. That's another gem. Another gem. So many.
Yo, I'm just honored to be here, bro. Let's get it, man. Let's keep it going, son.
Word. We got 15 minutes left, and we got to basically, you know, knock out this one topic that we've been talking about, I guess, since, you know, 2020. As we talk about, you know, what Sebastian mentions about esports 2.0 and really kind of how do you build esports to be sustainable. And even before the podcast, talk about, you know, what we want this podcast to be is substance over hype. You and I were having a conversation, hip hop, a couple weeks ago when an organization up in Ohio raised, I think it was like $6 million for LinkedIn for gaming. And, you know, I want the conversation not to be about their business, because if you know, shout out to them for their hustle, they can raise the money. Great. But what right. I want to understand is, why is it that we have, in a space where probably 90% of esports businesses aren't profitable, right? So by that measure, all investment deals are bad opportunities. Why do we have Black celebrities, both athletes and actors, et cetera, investing in non-Black owned opportunities when we have these great opportunities in the space. You and I talked about that before. You had some great ideas. Let's spend the next 10, 15 minutes talking about that because that's important.
Now, absolutely. So let's get right into it. First off, it's relationships once again. So I'll give you an example, right? Let's say you look at Kevin Durant, who just invested in Ambox, stuff like that, right? So one of the things that I learned is it's not about who the face is. It's about who's behind everything that's going to make things work. So one of the issues that I think we have is we don't have the direct relationships with the people that's in a position to say yes to certain organizations. So honestly, a lot of this stuff gets coerced. So if Kevin Durant's agent is in his ear like, yo, this is what... Babe, you got...
I always have the mute in my bag. But yeah. That's what Derek had. Can't hear me still?
Yeah,
that's better. Right. Okay, I don't know what's going on, all right? That was a lot. But anyway, Derek was mentioning this. He was saying, well, on the other side, a lot of these Black celebrities or Black business owners, entrepreneurs, have someone in their ear saying, hey, you know, their agent, their lawyer, their financial advisor, management, whomever, that they look at, and they're not white. I mean, they're not Black a lot of times. And they'll look at them and say, okay, you've been in that space longer than I have, so you must know more than I do. And you must know more because, of course, you want to help me with my portfolio. And they don't really advise them on, of course, let's say a lot of the Black esports companies that's out right now to invest in. So, yeah, I remember Derek was talking about that. And, of course, the relationships and just not knowing and having that air on themselves. They rely on other people instead of actually taking time to do their own research.
So one of the things I want to say that's very important is too many people do things the way they saw somebody else win at. So they follow the same patterns and you can't compete doing what they're doing. You have to do what you do so you can stand out and bring that attention to you, bring those dollars to you. So let's break it down in these three things, Marcus. One, when it comes to esports and everything like that right now, what's one of the things that's missing a lot of is actual authentic cool factor. What's the attraction part? So I'll give you an example. A lot of people are attracted to esports because that's the cool thing to do right now. A lot of people are attracted to that, but have no idea what it actually is and what it means. That's why they fail at it. I'll give you an example. Esports is a part of gaming. It's not gaming as a whole. So how are you going to have a part of gaming, but don't do nothing for the actual daily culture within the space in gaming to marry the two so you can have a business around it at scale? That's one of the first things that they make a mistake on. They think that they're going to invest in the team going to win all the time, and boom. Nah, this ain't the NBA. This ain't NFL. That structure ain't there. That's one. Two, there's too many esports organizations. There's nothing that's a definitive. So you got to find what the definitive is. If you look at the NBA, you have the NBA, you have the G League, and everything else is built to get to that. That's it.
Yeah, we don't have that in the industry right now. Something that is built to go to what is so like there's not a definitive in esports, really.
So I'll give you an example. So if you look at the NBA 2K League, that's the NBA 2K League because that's based off the game and that's what everybody's trying to get to, right? That's that. You have the Call of Duty League. So in order to get into the Call of Duty League, you got to get to that. That's that. That's only two. You know how many esports organizations is out there right now and everybody's trying to build something up? So the thing is, if you don't got the relationships with the actual game, with the actual IP, the intellectual property that allows you to utilize the game in all its glory and license and all this other stuff, then you will never be in a position to be valuable in the esports space on your own because the game is what makes it. The game is the platform that makes it exist in the first place. So I think that when it comes to investment and stuff like that, people need to gear towards, look, 2K have a league. What can I bring to that league? What is that league missing? What can I do to help make it grow so I can establish my position within this esports organization? Because they still need help. They're in their fourth season. They're still a small company. They still need help. They ain't balling. 2K League need help. Call of Duty League. There's a lot of money there, right? There's a lot of, they still, they need help. all these organizations need help.
But once again, those are still white organizations. Like, as far as like, where does the line begin as far as the mindset? It's just like what Chris Paul is doing right now with HBCUs. Okay, he's one of the NBA players that really have been making a push to recognize HBCUs on his platform as being an NBA player. And he didn't go to HBCU himself. He said he wish he would have. But now he's taking it back to do some work to actually shed light. Like, as far as in esports, that's the type of thing we're trying to see now, too. Like, it's okay to make that first step, to make the investment into those non-Black companies. But when is it going to flip to now have a return on investment to give back to your community and actually build the infrastructure for our people to be in esports and have part of the piece of?
Glad you said that. So to answer that question, and I think, you know, we can really wrap it up with this. So a lot of times people don't even think about the ownership or the equity part, and like even the IPO, like all these other things, they don't think about those things when they're trying to do esports deals. I think that if ownership is not involved in a deal, then you never want to have no type of control in what you're trying to do and what you're trying to push. So I give you a great example of what I mean right now. So I'm currently working on something right now where like ownership was offered to me. That alone right there don't happen often. I'm just keeping it a buck. That don't happen often. But if I can have that ownership and I have control, then that means that, look, it's not just white only and stuff like that, because now I get a chance to have a piece of the pie like how they have, and we could really work this out together without me feeling like every time I do something, when I want to do it, I can't make it happen. Or now I got to ask permission. Or that, nah, we have it documented that this ownership belongs to me. We have it documented that I'm in control of this area. And now we can make this happen the way my vision sees fit. And if we don't have that, Marcus, yeah, we in trouble. I'm just keeping it real.
I'd like to add to that, that, you know, that's why we're in that season. And I'm constantly calling it esports 2.0. Some of the things that hip hop dropped that are gems is like, you know, all these leagues are huge, and they're white owned, but you see like, Activision just had to lay off 50 people in the esports department. Right. And so that's going to, and shout out to all those people and you'll land on your feet. You know what I'm saying? Nine lives like the cat, but you see that what he's saying is verified. If you just go do a little bit of basic research on day to day, it's clear that this first wave of everything that happened in esports was based off of those conversations that didn't have a lot of merit, right? It was just like, this is hot right now. Everybody's doing it, right? And jump in. This is all 2018 bubbling up now in 2021. You see? Mm-hmm. So I agree with that. And then the second way is a lot of people from the side of the space that we're on don't connect with the mainstream. So that gap bridge is what 2.0 is. That's happening in front of us, because this conversation right now wasn't happening 5 years ago. Right now. I've been in this space long as all y'all. You know how long we've been in this thing.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And this conversation 5 years ago wasn't happening. Just the way the candidness of how what Red was just saying, the candidness of what you were just saying. We've heard Derek's opinion and thoughts. And Marcus is, you know, the CEO of MetArena, and that's a huge company that's getting attraction all over media right now. And so we know that it's taking place and transitioning. What I love is that you're bringing it to people to jockey and grab their position now. Because for how many years do we hear this? Esports is the wild, wild west. How many years?
Yeah.
How many years?
Yeah.
That was like a key term. It is such a key term. Let me tell you how much of a key term that is. Let me tell you how much of a key term. I saw it on Shark Tank. I was watching Shark Tank. And my man from Gunner, I forget his name. It's killing me, but my man from Gunner went up there and raised with Mark Cuban, and he was like, they just showing the cuts in the show, and he's like, and esports is the wild, wild west. I sat at the couch, I said, oh, he used it! He used it! That's how long the terminology has been out there, and it's true, and it's true. And what that means is, out in the wild, wild west, you ran the law as far as the eye could see. So it's like, if I'm doing something, you tell me that I can't do it, we gotta draw, partner. That's where we're at right now. And so there's enough space for all the two kind of just drop my two cents in. For all the black businesses now, you ain't had it like we had it 5 years ago. And the 5 years ago, us didn't have it like 10 years ago and so on and so back. So, what to do now is to keep having these conversations and keep making sure that you understand that character is your currency, right?
And like, don't gatekeep.
Yeah, don't gatekeep. Oh, my God. We listen.
Yeah, don't. Oh, I got something for that.
Don't gatekeep.
I got something.
God.
I got something for that.
That's what you're asking, why there isn't a lot of us. Yeah, like.
God.
I was going to tell you to turn it up because we didn't hear you as good that last time.
No, so, I was just saying, like, just for the people who look like us, do not gatekeep. When you're asking those same questions that we're asking, yet you're doing the reverse of it.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
And we know who you are. By the way, I just want to stand. I just want to stand with my sister locked in with that. Sorry to cut you off, Derek. We know who you are, and everybody can see that you're doing it. So, like, stop, God, stop. Okay. Go ahead, Derek. Go ahead, D.
All right. Now this is a tough one. Now, if the video game industry is what 170 billion right now, 165.
I think 186. I think, but okay.
All right. So 186. If you break down minority and inclusion, etc., from a dollar aspect, if something is making 185 billion, how much should go to black people?
Oh, 67%, because 67% of the entire gaming industry when it comes to spending power is representation of all minorities. All minorities. Like not just black, but just mostly black, but not just, you know, like black, just I'm talking about low income neighborhoods, everything, poverty, all that other stuff. When you look at the data of who's consuming, who's spending, and all the buying power, 67% is minority, meaning so not like white suburbs.
67% of the gaming industry revenue should be going to minorities.
Yes, and I can tell you why it's not though. I can tell you why it's not. I'm gonna crush it with two joints, because I know we got 2 minutes left. This should have been a 2-hour episode because I'm on here, but it's all right. It's all right. But here's what we're going to do, Derek. One, the first issue that we have in terms of what you were talking about with the dollar amount is when you look at Call of Duty, right? Call of Duty been out since 2003, right? It's 2021 right now, right? When you look at the box art, the representation, what you see, what you buy, it's been a white man on the cover the whole time from 2003 to 2021. That's one of the biggest, most prolific games in the industry, not just from an esports standpoint, just a game in general, right? Ooh. What's one of the next biggest games that recently came out? Cyberpunk, right? Who's on the front cover of Cyberpunk? Now, I can make a character black. I can make a character this.
That doesn't matter when a white male is on the cover.
Right? Exactly. So then, if you look at another game that I love, Immortals Fenyx Rising. You can make the character black. You can do all this other stuff. But when you look at the box art, it's a white lady. It's like that. So my thing is, if all the representation in the areas that matter, we are never there, then the perception is that we don't exist and we're not valuable at this level, but in every other level below, we are valued there, so that's where we're going to keep that investment. Boom. That's the biggest issue without this in this whole conversation that we've had in every subject matter. Because what's going to happen is when you're growing up, anybody that sees this, if all they see is this, they're going to think that they don't belong. And wherever they do see themselves at, that's how far they think they can go. So why should I invest in this and this and this and this and this if the representation is never at the highest level across the board? Look at the websites, whether it's IGN, Kotaku, GameSpot, or whatever, right? I've been in the industry since 2008. You know what I'm saying? G4 was around even before that. When have you ever seen like a black person giving you the gaming news on those high profile websites that got millions of dollars
behind? Every day, not just for Black History Month, every day.
Exactly. But even before the Black History Month, it didn't happen. Like, all that stuff is happening because George Floyd died and now they care. Like, I'm just keeping it a buck. Rest in peace to him
and God's family.
It's not because they care. It's because it's a profitable topic.
Right.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. They care. I mean that they care like they genuinely care from the heart. They care enough to even do it because of the profit. They care about the profit. That's pretty much what I was getting at. So that's the point I'm trying to make. So this whole situation is deeply rooted in a whole nother conversation that if those things don't take place and make change, then we always going to see the face value results that we are witnessing today. So what I do as a brand within myself, the way, because I can't speak for nobody else, but what I do within myself, I always created a scenario where everything that I do, I am the face of. I'll give you an example of what I mean, right? The stuff that I do on Hot 97, you see me on it. The stuff I do with Logitech G, you see me on it. And stuff like that. I make sure I make it apparent that everything I'm involved in, I am the face of it, as well as working on the background as well. Because now from an ownership position, I'm in control. Two, I'm not an employee. I'm a partner with everything that I do, so I can move the way I want to move and I'm not controlled. And then three, I still get the benefit of the marketing and the attention. So when people see me, they see that it's possible. And then in four, because of the relationships that I'm building with whoever I'm building it with, because of who I am as a person, there's a lot of people in the industry that is genuine. And when you get like-minded and like-hearted and like soul-like companions together, we can really move a mountain together and do things right. So everything ain't bad, but there's greatness within. And when you find that greatness, you utilize, you work it from the inside out. That's how you make your change. Too many people's going from the outside in. I work from the inside out. More people that do that will make the change properly.
Esports 2.0. You heard it. That's how it should be. I mean, that's the way it really should be. And I definitely think, like, you know, one of the things right now is people being able to unite better. You got crowdfunding, right? You got people learning how to deal with, like, being a micro influencer and making a big splash. You got people who understand, you know, how to take a brand deal and really make it, you know, kind of just on social media. It doesn't have to go anywhere else. It could just stay social media and be just as powerful as what used to be big rollouts. So I think that we're in a world now where people like hip hop and Red, you guys really helped pave along the way. So I want to thank you, because I got to see a lot of it along the way. It's been cool to watch, because I always felt, and Marcus, you can say, you know,
bro, you paved the way too. I said,
I've been around.
We
been
got
around.
To see you on TV.
I've been around. I've been around. I've been around.
Yo, son, I'm gonna tell you right now. I love your energy when you playing, son, because like that's that straight up hood, like you know what I'm saying, cornflakes in the morning with sugar. You know what I'm saying? Like all that stuff, like you going
late in the morning with sugar.
Yeah, for real. No, he's right. That's why I get to really tap into that level of like what I fell in love with it for in the first place, right? Just like really opening up a can of bus ass on somebody who was talking trash. Like that's just what it's about. That's where I started at. So I never forget those roots. But with this, I like to extract the gem. So forgive my quiet nature. I really wanted to soak up, because I knew I've seen through the years, right? I've watched many E3s, many events, many shows, and seen how you get down and how you're able to keep that longevity. So I'm glad that y'all got to see it up close. And that's what I'm saying. I want y'all to let this be an example of, you know, a podcast full of black folks taking this Wild Wild West mindset right now as an opportunity, and also as an example for you to reach out. You know what I'm saying? Feel free to reach out, have a conversation. Anybody here will have one with you. You need to reach out and work on them networking skills like Red was talking about. You don't need to reach out and be like, listen, this is what we're doing. I saw your podcast. Now we're doing this. Don't do that. Because I got to tell someone that, because all y'all inboxes will be booming. Just understand that this is what eSports 2.0 is. It's the new mind state, right? Like all the gems hip hop dropped today, you can apply it to yourself. That's what you can apply it today. He gave you that, right? And you got to see it live and talk to him. So take it, utilize it. Same thing with Derek. Same thing with Marcus. Same thing with Red. Utilize it. That's all I want to drop on y'all before we get out of here. Before we go.
Can I say one more thing before we get out of here?
Please.
Can I say one more thing before we get out of here? This is more of a serious note, but I'm going to tell you why it's important. The reason why you see that when Derek asked that question, which was a great question, and I was saying 67% minorities spending money on gaming. So one, gaming is a major escape. You have a lot of people dealing with real life situations, like really bad situations, especially in the hood. So a lot of times when you play the game, no matter what, you know, game you playing, it's your moment to get away from what your daily life is. Whereas you have a lot of people that their life, they're doing well, they're doing a lot better. So when they play the game, it's just another fun thing that they're doing. But to some people, this is literally all they got or all they feel they have. And without it, they like literally lose their mind. They need that escape. So that's one. Two, for me personally, what gaming did for me, and I can say this, and I know it, a lot of other people will relate to it, is I was playing Final Fantasy VII, and this game brought me closer to my family simply because I was able to change the names of the characters. And when you read in the text, it's like, oh, shoot, like this is how Cloud, you know, protected this person, or this is like Cloud and Barrett, you know, that was my brother, you know, I made him my brother. Mm-hmm. And the scenarios that you go through in these games, you start to think about, wow, like what if that really happened in real life? Or some of the scenarios you actually can pinpoint, like, yo, this is very similar to something that I actually like went through. And it literally brought me closer to my family. So my thing is, these games is different. It's not just let me play a game and chill. The escapism, and a lot of people, you know, I was talking to Steven Spawn yesterday from Able Gamers, like, you know, he can't walk and run and do a lot of these things, but when he's playing certain games, he can do those things. So it's like, gaming is very important, man. So a lot of people that are gatekeeping, and a lot of people that's involved in the industry for the wrong reasons, you have no idea who you're hurting. So I just wanted to tell you, like, truly respect the culture, show love. And if you don't know, learn about it, connect with the right people so we can collectively get things the way they need to be and where they should be, where it's fair. That's all I wanted to say.
And that's how we eat for life.
Boom. Boom, 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 boom. That was fire. That was incredible, man. Incredible.
Wow. What a show. I mean, thank you for coming on. Really, thank you for coming on, dropping tons of gems, plenty of gems for your left and right brain. Of course, this is the Eat for Life podcast. We had the special guest Hip Hop Gamer on today. Anything else you want to drop? Let them know where they can find you at. Let them know where. So you gave so many gems out, you forgot to tell them where they can find you and connect.
Yo, listen, man, Google me. Hip Hop Gamer, Google me. I'm everywhere. I love y'all. One love and God bless. Character is your currency. Hip Hop Gamer, no stranger to danger. Number one journalist. Quickly, I changed the game up. Let's go, baby. Be out of here. Life.